Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This program has been brought to you by Cider Week New York City, happening November 6th through 15th, 2015. For more information, check out ciderweeknyc.com.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. My column, Ask a Clean Person, appears on Deadspin.com, and my guest today is Daniel Gritzer. Welcome back, Daniel.
Hey, great to be back, Jolie.
I'm really happy to have you here. Listeners from the first season will remember Daniel. Daniel is the culinary director at Serious Eats, where he writes about food, cooking, and recipes, with an eye to obsessive recipe testing and myth-busting. Our dedicated listeners will remember Daniel from season one when he regaled us with true and terrifying tales of what really goes on in restaurant kitchens. That was a very gruesome episode, I will say. keeping in the spirit of gruesome episodes, he's joining me once again in the studio, this time to talk about the very serious subject of cast iron cookware. But before we get into that, Daniel owes us a few more gross out stories. When he was last here, we ran out of time before he could tell us about how much human blood there is in that plate of pappardelle bolognese that you're enjoying at your favorite restaurant. So we shall first start with that.
You want to start with that story?
Yeah, I want to hear about that. Actually, maybe I should start with my personal story. So as we were preparing for the episode, I was like, I actually have a story about human gore ending up in food. For whatever reason, this summer, I got really into using my microplane zester. I was doing a lot of citrus zesting, ginger zesting. There was a marinade that I got in the New York Times, a steak marinade that involved ginger and garlic and
a zesty marinade
and lime zest and fish sauce. And it was very delicious. And I used it for everything. But every time I would make it, it called for zesting, not only the citrus, but the ginger and the garlic too.
Right.
Yeah. So, which is a handy little trick. You should all try that. It's actually like really easy, except that every time I did it, I zested myself into some of the marinade.
Yeah. Those microplanes are sharp. You have to be careful.
Yeah. I mean, it was just like Jolie knuckle in every bite, basically.
It's like the bubbies making the potato latkes, right?
There's yeah.
A little bit of knuckle love in each bite.
Yeah. I mean, my mom is half Italian and half Irish. And whenever she talks about meatballs, you know, because I always say my meatballs are never as good as my mom's. And she's like, well, it's because it's like the oil in my hands. It's my own personal flavor from making meatballs.
Made with love.
Made with love and a little bit of human flesh. So anyway, now you can tell us how much this goes on in restaurant kitchens. I really want to know.
Well, I have to tell you something. Okay. First, I'll tell you my own experience where I worked in generally like very nice restaurants where people cared and stuff happened. But even when stuff happened, you tried to handle it responsibly and not do anything that would endanger the customers. And that sort of informed so much of my understanding of, you know, how people work. It's like people take pride in their jobs. They don't want to do all this, you know, they don't want to do terrible things to you.
I mean, I've been serving my husband bits of my flesh all summer. I guess it's not really true.
One time when I was working in this restaurant, this guy cut himself on the meat slicer, you know, like the deli slicer with the spinning blade.
Ooh.
And it was bad, but he kept it to himself.
Ooh.
And he wrapped up the finger and he put on a latex rubber glove. And, I, you know, that's what you're supposed to
do.
Yeah,
that's what you do.
So in theory, like, nobody was really in any danger from the customer's point of view. But at the end of the night, I looked over at the guy and I noticed that the glove was full of blood like a water balloon.
Oh!
And I was just like, dude, what are you doing? Why are you working? You need to go to the hospital. B, that's just far too much blood to possibly have like been able to control and contain. Freaked me out so much. It was, you know. Anyway.
How is he not like white as a sheet from losing that much blood?
I personally took him to the hospital.
Daniel, you're the nicest person.
I try.
You really are.
Okay, but here's the other thing I wanted to tell about this. So after I was on your show the first time, I think these folks over at Sirius Radio had heard the show.
Oh, good.
Because I got an email and they were like, would you come on Sirius XM and talk about, on this particular show on the M&M like channel and talk about kitchen cleanliness and like the same thing.
Okay.
And I was, and I said, yeah.
Well, wait, my feelings are hurt. Why aren't they getting in touch with me?
well.
It's my show.
Well, where this, right. where this
no, no,
story
no. You're
is
the,
going.
You're the kitchen expert. I get it.
So I said, oh, yeah, okay, sure. So I went over and I didn't do what I should have done, which was a little bit of due diligence on what the show was. Because I just heard Sirius XM and I don't listen to Sirius, but I know it's like a legit network.
Yeah.
So I just thought it'll be like a, you know, normal thing. And I went like prepared to be like, you know, to say this stuff like, oh yeah, stuff happens, but you know, we, you know, cooks take their job seriously, they take pride in their work, whatever, like have a few fun stories but nothing too terrible. And then they started getting the call-ins from their listeners, and this was it. Oh my god, there were all these people calling in who were, had claimed to have worked in different, mostly like, you know, fast food restaurants nationwide, and the stories they had bugged me out so much. I couldn't even respond to half of them. There were people who were like, this one woman called up and said that they used to wash the salad greens in the mop bucket.
Oh! I would like to apologize to our listeners for that noise that I just made, but this is live and that was a real reaction. That hurts me in every possible place that I could possibly be hurt.
It's the worst. And not even like a clean mop bucket that had never been used.
Never.
Just happened to be repurposed as the salad washing bucket. No, this was the mop bucket used to mop the floor every day that they were washing the salad greens. And let me tell you, that's like the tamest of the stories that we got.
I can't even handle this. And I partly can't even handle it because people who have ever listened to me talk about mops know that I always say I hate mops because dirty mop water makes me so upset.
It's the worst.
I actually have a weird fear, and someday I'll explain the whole story behind this. It's really gross. But I have a fear of standing water, and I particularly have a fear of dirty standing water.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the reason that I personally dislike mops, is because generally it does involve some dirty standing water. And the idea of washing salad, I'm gonna have to change the subject, I think. I might cry.
Yeah, I'll spare you the worst stories, but suffice
all right, well,
it to
I'm
say,
gonna go find that episode.
I was rendered speechless. And I went from being the expert on the show to being clearly like I had no idea what I was talking about. Because all these other people were calling in saying things that I just didn't think actually happened. So,
because you actually said that when you were here and talking about the restaurant cleanliness issues, I think someone had asked about, you know, sort of how frequent is it that wait staff or kitchen staff will, you know, spit in the food. You know, you always hear that sort of an urban legend, but maybe it's not. I think people wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one of the questions we asked. And your answer was really that happens pretty infrequently because it's degrading for someone to do that, to lower themselves in that way, and that most people have pride and so on. Maybe you were being a little optimistic.
I got to backpedal on that one a little bit. I think certain places, don't be so sure. And you know what it comes down to? The lesson I took away is if, you know, a lot of these places, the employees are like teenagers.
Yes.
And how much do you trust teenagers and their judgment preparing food you're going to eat? And, you know, I'm sure a lot of these businesses are well run and they're clean and all that. But you can also imagine what people can get up to when they're 16 and goofing around or annoyed at you know, there's an annoying customer and they think up a plan of how they can. So, you know, okay.
I'm just going to eat every meal at home from now on. I'm just going to stick with my own grated knuckles.
It's much better than the mop bucket salad.
Oh God. Listen, I'm going to go dig up that episode. I may not be able to listen to the whole thing, but I'll definitely link to it in the companion post that runs on Deadspin, so that if people do want to hear this, they can. I don't know why you would want to. And I'm saying that as someone who had admittedly loves gross out stories. That might even be a bridge too far for me.
It is too much.
In any event, let us take on a much less gross topic now. Yeah. I am thrilled that Daniel is here to talk about cast iron skillet care.
Mm-hmm.
Or cast iron cookware, we should say, because we aren't really going to limit it to skillets. So you could have, you know, those corn pone trays. You know what I'm talking about?
Those ones that have the actual corn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The most useless little thing, but so cute. Every time I see one, I'm like, I want that. I'll never use it, but I want it. Part of the reason I'm excited to have Daniel here is that he is an expert. The people at Serious Eats have done extensive amounts of work on cast iron care. Daniel has done a lot of work on how to restore vintage cast iron or cast iron that maybe has seen better days and needs some help.
Mm-hmm.
His colleague, Kenji Lopez Alt, I'm always afraid I'm going to reverse the order and say Alt Lopez, but no, Kenji Lopez Alt, who also, we should say, has just released a cookbook called The Food Lab.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Which is, he is the food lab.
He is the food lab.
He is a food lab. That's his long-running column series. He's turned it into a book. Daniel has brought me a copy of the book, and it is gorgeous. It's huge and hardcover, and I'm really, really excited to dive into it. And you guys should all pick that up. It would be a great holiday gift.
Totally.
I'm already working on my holiday gift guides this year, so I've got that on the brain. Great holiday gift. So Kenji wrote the definitive guide to cast iron myths. It was called Seven Myths of Cast Iron. I wrote down the seven myths so we can reel them off with a focus on the cleaning ones.
Right.
So before we go into those myths, I actually am just going to start off with question one from Will. I'm going to read it, and Daniel is more or less going to answer it for us. I should say, sorry, the second reason that I'm excited that Daniel's here to take this on is that cast iron care is one topic. There are very few of them, but it is one topic that I essentially will not touch in Ask a Clean Person.
Really?
Yeah. And that is for two reasons. I always am like a two-reason person. There's always two reasons. So anyway, the first reason is that I personally have a fear of cast iron. I have, today is Jolie Spears' episode, apparently, standing water and cast iron. The cast iron thing is completely irrational. I know that I should get over it. It has to do with a bad relationship I was in my 20s. It has to do with a dangerous situation that I found myself in with cast iron.
Dangerous.
And, yeah. And the combination of the two just really put me off it so much that as I said, it's completely irrational. So partly because I just have this fear and I don't really like talking about it. And then also because the care of cast iron is so contentious and people really believe these things like you must never use soap on cast iron, which is one of the myths that we're going to talk about. And they get really passionate. And I find that they get passionate to the point that it's not fun to talk about with them because they get...
People get real weird about cast iron.
Yeah, they get, and it takes the joy out of it for me. Like, I don't mind when people start arguing about cleaning stuff like lightheartedly, but when you're getting to the point where you're like lowering yourself to name calling, just like the fun really goes out of it. So yeah, I stay
out
away
the switchblade.
From it. Yeah, so I stay away from it. But it is a thing that people really care about, and a lot of time, I mean, women certainly care about it. Men are really passionate about their cast iron. And so I think this is a great topic for the Deadspin audience because I know they'll eat it up. And if people don't like what they hear, they can email Daniel about it.
Yeah. You can tell me how wrong I am.
I'm passing the buck. You guys can all get mad at Daniel. Okay. So with that, question one from Will. Will writes, "Hi, Jolie. What's the best way to keep a cast iron pan in good shape? I inherited my grandmother's old cast iron pan and use it frequently. What's the best way to keep it cleaned and seasoned? A friend suggested scrubbing with oil and salt, but my grandmother just used to wipe it out with a wet towel. I'm not supposed to ever use soap, right? I cook all kinds of things on it. Sear meat, simmer sauces, saute veggies. Do I ever need to re-season the pan? Thank you.
Gosh, it's a big question.
Because like, he hit at basically everything.
Everything from start to finish. Yeah. How to...
Do you want me to reel them off one at a time?
Yeah, let's go through.
Okay, so first one, what's the best way to keep it clean and seasoned?
So, you know, even here, the answer is a little bit complicated because it depends on the condition of the pan to mm-hmm. begin with. So if this is a brand new cast iron pan, like a Lodge, they come pre-seasoned.
Okay.
Some people say, oh, the pre-seasoning that they put on them is no good. You got to strip it off and start from scratch. Other people say that's a bit much. Just, you know, keep seasoning on top of that seasoning. So maybe the first thing to sort of explain is what seasoning is.
Yes.
I'm not a scientist. I can't, you know, there's a limit to how deep I can go in my chemical explanation of what's happening. But in short, what seasoning is a layer of super thin. It starts out as oil that polymerizes, so it forms this network, like a plastic like network that bonds to the surface of the metal.
Mm-hmm.
And that polymerized oil basically gives you a lot of the benefits that. Of cast iron, like the non-stick that you often mm-hmm. see if it's a nice, well-treated pan. So yeah, the first question then is, you know, what's the condition of the pan? If the pan already has some seasoning, it's really just a matter of keeping it clean, continuing to use it, which will continue to put new layers of seasoning on top, and you'll build up those layers of seasoning. It'll get better and better.
Mm-hmm.
Cast iron will rust. A very well-seasoned pan won't rust as quickly as one that's not seasoned, which I've seen totally unseasoned iron will rust just sitting out in the air in a matter of minutes.
Wow.
It just reacts with moisture in the air instantly. So the seasoning is protecting it from being that reactive.
Okay.
But it'll still rust if it's left wet, so you need mm-hmm. you know, keep it dry, all of that stuff. If it's in bad condition, though, you kind of need to fix it up a bit.
Okay.
What's the next question?
Okay. So his next one was a friend suggested scrubbing with oil and salt, but my grandmother just used to wipe it out with a wet towel. I'm not supposed to ever use soap, right?
Wrong. So
yay.
Yeah, so you can.
Reminder, hate mail to Daniel. Daniel
right.
at SeriousEats.com.
People get so
I even gave them your email address.
that's fine. Email me. People get so violent. Don't you ever soap a cast iron pan. You're
How
out of your mind.
How dare you?
I've had cast iron for years. I've had carbon steel pans for years, which are behave very similarly to cast iron. You absolutely can wash them with soap. The polymerized oil, that layer of seasoning, it's not like just a slick of oil that
right.
washes off with soap. It's become an entirely different
chemical compound from the combination of the heat and the metal
exactly.
and the reaction that
exactly.
the oil has to it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just not.
It's bonded on.
Yeah.
You're not going to wash it away.
You don't want to take a Brillo to your cast iron pan and
right.
stainless steel scrub it to death because, yeah, that could, you know, that could start to eat away at the seasoning that you have. But, a gentle soaping is just not going to do anything. The thing about the salt, if you have a nice layer of seasoning on your pan, that's great. But sometimes things sort of burn onto the pan. Like
yes.
maybe something does stick, even though you have more or less of a non-stick surface. You want to get rid of that because that dark thin layer of black seasoning is not the same thing. It's just built up, burnt on gunk. And so the salt, for example, works as an abrasive.
Right.
And so sometimes if I have a gunked up pan, I'll pour a bunch of salt into it, get it like so hot that the salt is actually sort of popping and sputtering in
mm-hmm.
the pan. And then I'll take a towel and I'll scrub that into the pan dry, just to work up a lot of that gunk and stuff.
Okay.
And then you can wash that out easily. So that's one method of cleaning. It works for me.
Sounds pretty easy.
Yeah, but you can also, you know, you can soap a cast iron pan. It's okay.
Right.
You just want to go back and re-season it. You know, you always want to kind of leave it on a good footing for the next use. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Some people just rub the pan with oil right when they're done using it and think that it's done. That's not done. That oil is just going to get sticky sitting in your cabinet.
Yeah. And perhaps even rancid.
And rancid, exactly. So it's not enough to just rub the pan with oil. You actually want to give it a... there's an initial seasoning process you can go through that involves multiple coatings, very, very, very light coatings of oil, and you do it in the oven in cycles. But once you have your pan built up, you can really, when you've cleaned it, you've dried it, you rub a very thin layer of oil in it, and you set it on a burner, and you do it long enough that basically it's not wet oil anymore, and you've sort of laid down one more layer of seasoning, and then boop, put it in the
perfect
cabinet, and
good to go.
Good to go for the next time.
Great. So listen, this is a very good time for us to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about seasoning the pan and how you can determine if you need to reseason. We're going to take another question about newer cast iron. And then we're going to share a reader tip. That's a new one for this podcast. So Daniel and I will be back in just a minute. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Cider Week helps to bring profitability to local orchards while reviving heirloom apple varieties by cultivating awareness of craft cider. Cider Week connects cider makers from New York State and select pioneering guest cideries outside the state to buyers from top restaurants, bars, and retail shops across New York City. Those culinary tastemakers, in turn, help increase consumer awareness of cider's pleasures by hosting public events, tastings, dinners, classes, and pairings that build appreciation and demand for regional ciders.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr, and my guest today is Daniel Gritzer, the culinary director at Serious Eats. We've been talking about cast iron cookware. Topical, too, Daniel. With both Thanksgiving coming up, and you published a recipe yesterday that's a cast iron skillet recipe.
Yeah, like a true Southern unsweetened cornbread recipe where you preheat the cast iron skillet in the oven, and then you pour the batter in, and it gets all crisp around the edges, and it's not that sweet Northern one that we tend to find up around these parts.
Yeah. I'm a Northern cornbread kind of gal, but I'm from Boston.
Yeah,
I'm from Boston. What are you gonna do?
I'm from Brooklyn. I like it. I'm not anti.
But I'm gonna try the Southern style because I was convinced by your very interesting article. I'll also link to that recipe in the that's been right up, so people can try it. Maybe we could have a cornbread tasting party at some point.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, that would be fun.
It's easy. Cornbread's easy.
Cornbread is easy. I make cornbread fairly often. Yeah. This summer when we had the farm share, we were had corn coming out of our ears. I made a lot of cornbread to use up kernels. Tough problem to have, right? Okay, so where we left off was we got through most of Will's questions. The last one that he had, though, that we didn't really address was, do I ever need to re-season the pan? And I actually want to frame that a little bit differently from how he did. Because I think everybody probably knows, yes, the answer is yes. From time to time, you likely will need to re-season your pan. So what I would think would be...
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Very helpful to hear from you is, when do you know if you need to reseason your pan? What are the signs?
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, in a sense, you're always reseasoning your pan in that every time you use the pan and cook with it with oil and high heat, and like I said, when you're finished and you've cleaned it and you do one last little layer of seasoning, it's sort of this ongoing maintenance. And if you do that, it's pretty rare that you have to reseason from square one.
Okay.
But it can happen.
Yeah.
For example, not too long ago, I was preheating one of my cast iron skillets in the oven, and I got very distracted by something I was working on. And a few hours later, I thought, what the hell is that smell? It's this horrible chemical smell. What is it? And then the light bulb went off, and I ran into the kitchen, and the skillet had been sitting in there so long that all of the seasoning had burned off into this, like, dust, this horrible polymerized dust. And that was it. I had killed. There was really no fixing that. I had to strip the pan
and start over. Okay.
So if you do anything basically really bad to the pan, whether it's leaving it in the oven for far too long, you can safely preheat a seasoned cast iron skillet for, you know, quite a while without anything happening. But 4 hours at 500 degrees, like I had it sitting in there without thinking of it, was too hot for too long.
Yeah.
And there are other things, you know, if you let too much gunk build up without cleaning it properly, whether you're cleaning with salt or something abrasive or whatever, you may get to a point where it's too hard to hack through all that, those layers of carbonized junk, which is, again, different from the seasoning.
Right.
Then you may need to strip it down.
Yeah. We're gonna talk about how to strip it down. Actually, mm-hmm. This actually leads perfectly into question two, because it is someone who sort of, you know, through no fault of her own, sort of neglected her cast iron, mm-hmm. and she's now has a problem. I also want to say, I love that you just told that story about leaving the pan in the oven too long, right? I think it's always great when we can admit that, you know, we're experts, but we make mistakes all the time.
Oh,
all
yeah.
the time. So I love that you just said that. I want to give you kudos for that. Okay, so question two from Anna. This summer, I kept my gorgeous new cast iron pan in the back of my cabinet because it was summer and my kitchen gets super hot. I pulled it out from its shadowy depths a couple weeks ago and noticed with horror that it totally rusted.
Mm-hmm.
I tried the kosher salt and paper towel thing. I tried steel wool. I tried a scrubby brush and some good old elbow grease, and there's still some rust. Help! I feel like an awful, irresponsible cook. How am I supposed to make bacon now? Is rusty bacon tasty/safe? So, I mean, I know the answer to the last question, which is no, rusty bacon is neither tasty nor safe. Don't eat rusty bacon.
Although I don't think actually rust is, I'm not a doctor, I shouldn't say. I don't think rust is biologically dangerous. I think maybe it just passes through us. But that doesn't mean it's appealing or that you want it in your food.
I feel like you're eating iron. Like, yeah, straight. I don't think that's good for you.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Don't
quote me.
Yeah. don't do that, guys. I can also tell Anna that I don't think that she should at all feel like an awful, irresponsible cook, right? Daniel left the gets perfectly seasoned cast iron pan in the oven for 5 hours at 500 degrees.
These things happen. These things happen. Right. So the rust is because the iron in the pan was reacting with the environment, mm-hmm. the air, and moisture in the air.
Yep.
And
probably because it was a new cast iron, she hadn't seasoned it up to the point where she should have.
Yeah. I mean, that's
it was probably pre-seasoned.
Right.
But
the seasoning does act as a protective layer to prevent that kind of rust. But maybe she lives in a very humid place, or maybe her seasoning was a bit thin, or, you know, whatever the reasons were, the moisture in the air was able to react with the iron and the pan rusted just sitting out in the air in her cabinet. So what do you do? Small amounts of rust you can really just rub off with, you know, some elbow grease and a sponge and some, you know, whatever, soapy water, friction, if it's very minimal amounts of rust. Larger amounts of rust are far more stubborn, and the easiest way to get them off is with acetic acid vinegar, distilled white vinegar.
Ah, my favorite product in all the lands and all the seas.
There you go. There it pops up once again.
Yep.
You know, in fact, if you're into vintage cast iron pans, or you've really messed up a pan like I did that time, mm-hmm. and for some reason you need to strip it down, like maybe find a great vintage pan at a flea market, but it's seen better days and you just want to start from scratch. The first, you know, often they'll be rusted or whatever the issue is. You know, the first step is to remove all the seasoning,
mm-hmm.
Which you do with lye.
Okay.
And I can tell you more about that if you're curious. And then the second step is to remove any rust with the vinegar.
Okay. Now, here's the thing about the lye.
Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous.
It sure is.
Yeah. So I want you to tell us about it, but I want you to emphasize the safety precautions mm-hmm. that people need to take if they're going to work with lye.
Yeah. I mean, here's what I say to people when I talk about lye. It's not... You know, if somebody deep fries chicken, make fried chicken at home in a Dutch oven filled with, you know, 360 degree oil. That's something that a lot of people are comfortable doing at home. And yet you would never want to take that pot of oil and pour it onto your skin, right? I mean, that's, and so lye is similar. It's not something that you should be so fearful of that you're not willing to work with it, but understand that it, if you get it on you, you know, in a strong lye solution, which is, it's alkaline.
Yep.
It will very rapidly essentially burn you.
It will burn you.
It'll be just like pouring 360 degree oil onto your skin. So don't, you know, yes, work with lye just in the same way as, yes, fry some chicken, but treat that like it's some serious, serious stuff that you don't want on you.
Right. So, this harkens back to things that I've written about using oven cleaner, commercial oven cleaner, like Easy Off, that is also made of lye. And I have personally, from my own personal experience, gotten a lye burn from oven cleaner. I accidentally brushed up against a tiny bit when I was reaching into the back of the oven.
Mm-hmm.
I was wearing my gloves, but I had my upper arm exposed, foolishly, totally my bad. And I knew better, and I still did this anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I had my upper arm exposed, and when I reached into the back of the oven to clean the back, there was a tiny spot of oven cleaner in the front that I hadn't wiped away, made contact with my shoulder. And let me tell you, it hurt like a bitch. I mean, and I had a scar. It was no joke. And that was a tiny little swipe of oven cleaner, which is not pure lye. So we just want to be really safety conscious when we talk about these kinds of cleaning chemicals. And I think, Daniel, you put it in a great way in saying, you can use it. Just understand what you're working with before that. Which actually leads me, could you use oven cleaner?
In fact, that's the easiest thing for most people at home use. You take a very heavy duty industrial garbage bag.
Yep.
Shove your dirty old cast iron pan in there. Spray it all over with Easy Off.
Yeah. Wear gloves when you're doing that.
Yeah, rubber gloves, no exposed skin. If you want to be really safe, put on
goggles. Be careful especially if you're spraying it into a bag that's sort of contained. Our natural instinct is to sort of lean over the bag while we're doing that, which puts your eyes closer to it. Mm-hmm. So really, really be careful.
Yeah. And well-ventilated area.
Well-ventilated.
Because the Easy Off it's an aerosolized form of lye. So you're going to have some of it airborne. You don't want to be in an enclosed space choking on that.
Yeah. It's nasty.
It's nasty it's stuff. Nasty.
Here's another question. You know, there's another popular way of cleaning ovens that involves putting a bowl of ammonia in the cold oven overnight and just sealing it, letting it sit. And the fumes from the ammonia will sort of act in the same way as a foaming lye oven cleaner. I wonder if ammonia would do the same thing poured into a bag. Because there's a trick where you, for grill grates, where you put the grill grates into a sealed bag with ammonia. I don't know. We should look into that.
I don't know. Okay. Yeah, it's possible. Because what the lye is doing is it's basically, you know, that polymerized oil that we were talking about is, you know, it is built from fat molecules. And lye, you know, how do you make soap? You take oil and I've never made soap. I can't tell you, but you mix it with lye somehow and soap comes out the other end. So it's melting that, this stuff that's made out of oil and I suppose, I mean, I think when you get burned with lye, you're actually kind of turning your skin a little bit to soap. I think that's part of what's happening.
Oh, how lovely.
Because you have oils and fats on your skin and it's reacting with that. And anyway,
makes sense in a weird way.
I'm a little out of my depth.
If you've ever gone to like a whaling museum, this will sound somewhat familiar, right? Because you're using whale fat for the towel, and it's mixed with lye, and that's how you make soap.
Soap, exactly. Yeah, it's the whole thing.
We're probably going to get some very angry emails from soap makers who probably really insulted their profession. That's not how you make soap.
I'm sure it's not how they make it anymore.
It's probably not how you make soap. So, okay. So I think probably for Anna, what I'm distilling out of all of this is that her best bet is to use the oven cleaner to strip down the rust.
Well, the oven cleaner won't take the rust off. The oven cleaner will take the seasoning off.
Okay.
The rust will come off with vinegar.
Oh.
Distilled
white
vinegar.
Forget the oven cleaner. Okay.
Yeah, unless you need to strip off the seasoning.
Okay.
And sometimes the seasoning may make it difficult to get all of that rust off.
Gotcha.
So try the vinegar first.
And if it doesn't work,
then you're going to want to strip it down.
Got it.
And I have a whole article on Serious Eats, like Jolie said, about how to do that. And, you know, and
with photos and everything,
and all the safety sort of warnings. And then you do the vinegar, and then you have to start reseasoning right away, because once you've stripped that pan down to its, to the original metal, which is kind of cool to do. I mean, don't do it if you don't need to, but, you know, they just look different. It's this kind of gunmetal gray color. They just look pretty cool, and you don't normally see the cast iron pans like that, because they're
You see the shiny black,
that black exterior. But then, you're gonna want to reseason them right away, because that bare metal will, like I said, it'll rust in the
air. Rust in a jiffy. Okay, so I'm so glad you said that, because I want you to take me through step by step how to season a pan, a cast iron pan, from the very beginning. So let's say that we've got an old vintage cast iron pan that we've picked up at the flea market, that old chestnut, right?
Yeah.
I've never actually seen it.
I've done it.
Of course you have. You've got one of those, you've stripped it down, you've removed the rust, and now you're starting totally from scratch. Tell me, like, I'm five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
how to do this?
Once again, this is there'll be angry emails about this.
Oh, of course.
People are, there's not a ton of consensus on exactly the best way to do this. So I'll tell you, I'm like, okay, everybody chill out.
Yes.
Chill out a little bit. Like, everything's fine. I'll tell you what I do. Some people will say that's not the best way. Whatever. It works.
I like your attitude so much, Daniel. I wish everyone was like that. Like, really, there are problems in the world
bigger than this.
Cast iron.
Yeah.
Not one of them.
Yeah.
If you want to spend your days fighting over cast iron, you need a hobby.
Yeah. Maybe go like help the homeless or something.
Yeah.
So you've got this stripped down pan. It's ready to be reseasoned. What I do is I'll turn on my oven. And you know, there's a debate about what's the best temperature and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I'll do 400.
Okay.
The ballpark.
That seems like a good happy medium.
And I'll take the pan and I will rub it with an oil. And some people like flax oil. Some people, you know, some people swear by bacon fat. Other people say bacon fat's the worst thing you could do. A lot of times I just use vegetable oil that's in my kitchen cabinet.
Canola, corn,
canola, vegetable, flax.
I saw also that in Kenji's piece, he mentioned like Crisco.
That's another one. You know, you don't want to use butter because it's not pure butter fat.
Right.
It's there's other stuff. There's milk solids and water in there, and you don't want to use mineral oil because it doesn't react in the same way.
Okay. And you don't want to use olive, right? Because the smoke point is too low. Is the smoke point an issue with this? I have to imagine it is. But
you're getting this oil so hot, no matter what oil you're using, that
it's going to smoke.
You're taking it past its smoke point, but olive oil is expensive.
Yeah.
Why? You know, use cheaper
it for cooking and
oil. That's
okay. That's great.
So, and this is something people, I think, mess up a lot. You're going to rub that oil under the pan, and you really want to rub it. You know, you'll start off with say you put a teaspoon's worth of oil in the pan, and you take your towel and you rub it all in. You want to keep rubbing it until it almost looks like it's dry again.
Okay.
A lot of times people leave it too wet because they think, oh, well, I need this oil. I don't want to rub it all out because then I'm not going to get the seasoning because I need it to season. But it's you need these micro thin layers of oil.
Okay.
And if you leave even a little bit too much, it can streak in the pan and you get this sort of uneven streaking in the seasoning. Like kind of like a painter who has drips running down the wall.
Yep.
And it may not look like it's going to do that, but in the heat of the oven, it will do that.
It will do that.
So you want to really, 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 really rub it dry. All over the pan, outside, inside, handle, every single surface, and then put in the oven. A lot of people like to do it, upside down, so that if there is excess oil, it drips, and then it's good to
put a sheet underneath it
to catch a drip. But really, it should be so dry.
Because otherwise, you're going to have to bust out the oven cleaner.
Yeah, exactly. It should be so dry that it's not really dripping
anyway.
I mean, that's like way too wet, but it, good precaution. And then you leave it in there for, you know, I don't know, 30 minutes, something. Okay. And then take it out, do the next layer of oil, back
let it cool, right?
Yeah, let it
cool so it's warm to the top. I mean, obviously, you can't handle it.
Yeah, I don't know that I bother bringing it all the way down to room temperature, but yeah, let it cool a little bit, but do the next layer of oil.
Until you can handle it.
Yeah, you know, this may be one of those things where people are, like, adamant that it has to come down to room temperature, but
Okay.
I just don't want
people to get burned is my issue.
You want to be careful working. Once it's hot, the handle's hot, everything's hot. You cycle through. You just do these cycles of oil and oven, and when it's in the oven, that oil is forming this
bond,
this polymer, yeah, and bonding to the metal, yeah, and you're building up layers.
Okay, how many times to do that?
For like a first go?
Yeah.
Oh, five times.
Like, okay.
You know, ballpark.
That sounds good. Ballpark. And then you can judge if you need to do it more or less, yeah, or if you want to the next day do the same thing. Maybe you're doing this on a weekend and you do one round on Saturday and one round on Sunday. Just good to have a general idea. If
totally.
It's like,
and know, then it's
5 times or 50 times.
Eventually it'll be 50 times because you're going to keep using the pan and keep, like I said, when you're done with it, give it that one last rub of oil, just like, okay, you did for the oven method.
Yeah.
But you can just slap it on a burner on the stove. It, okay, doesn't have to be in the oven then.
Right. So in our scenario with Anna, she's re-seasoned the pan. She's dutifully making her bacon. After she's made her bacon, she's dumping her bacon grease out. She is wiping out as much of the grease as she can with a paper towel. Then she's cleaning it with soap and water, immediately drying it. Here is actually the biggest thing I want to say that, mm-hmm, came out of the myths, mm-hmm, article on Serious Eats, is that it's not actually the soap that's the enemy. It's the water. It's the water. So, mm-hmm, you don't want to soak your cast iron pan. You want to get it in the water, wash it, rinse it, dry it, mm-hmm, as quickly as you can. Mm-hmm. You just don't want any standing water. Hey, back to the standing water.
Right.
It all comes full circle for us. You don't want standing water with your cast iron pan. So Anna is going to make her bacon. She's going to wipe out grease. She's going to do a quick soapy rinse. She's going to dry it and she's going to put it back on the burner. She's going to add a little bit of oil.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to rub that around with her towel.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to turn the burner on. She's going to let that cook for 5 minutes, 3, 4, 5 until
minutes.
It's dry.
Until it's dry, exactly. You don't want to have any remnant of wet oil at all. But again, you also, when you're applying the oil, you want to buff it to the point of seeming practically dry.
Before you start heating it. Gotcha. All right. So this is great. Listen, we are just about out of time. As always, this goes by so fast, especially when Daniel is here to be so wise. I do, however, want to share a listener tip that came in just recently. I was thrilled because I knew this episode was coming up. This person did not provide their name, so I can't thank him or her. But they write, "Hi, Jolie. Just found out about a new clean person thing and thought you'd want to know if you don't already. I'm devoted to my cast iron pans that have been passed down in my family, but my husband hated scrubbing them. So we did a little research and found these chainmail scrubbers on America's Test Kitchen. They take care of all our pots and pans extremely quickly. Just scrubbing when the pans are still hot with only water cleans the pans up without getting rid of the seasoning. Plus, they look badass in the kitchen." So I wanted to mention that. It was a cool little product. The name of the product is called the CM Scrubber by Knappmade, KNAPPMADE. The CM Scrubber, that's for chainmail. They're pretty neat. I think that's a really great option for people who are listening to this and saying, hell no, I'm not using soap. Because if you don't want to use soap, listen, just because Daniel says it's okay doesn't mean you have to do it. It just means it's an option that's fine. But some of you out there will still really hold on to that myth of the no soap. And that's fine. If the thought of using soap on your cast iron makes you upset or uncomfortable, don't do it, guys. You have our permission.
You're not at gunpoint.
Yeah, you're absolutely not. So check out that cast iron chainmail scrubber by Knappmade. And on that note, it's time to go. a big thank you to my guest today, Daniel Gritzer of Serious Eats. It was wonderful, as always, to have you back in the studio.
Thank you. It's so fun to be here.
Thank you also to my engineer, Jack Inslee, and to our sponsor, Cider Week. Today's music was provided by RecTech. If you like what you heard today, and maybe you did or maybe you didn't, depending on your feelings about cast iron, please consider subscribing on iTunes and leaving a rating, and also telling your friends about this weird little cleaning show that you enjoy so very, very much. And of course, thank you to you, my listeners. I'm Jolie Kerr, and this has been Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.